Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York City. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Pat Lambert and Deidre Bayer. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel! Mari
Fagel! Hi, everyone. Woo! I cannot wait to break down all of the drama from this week and their trip to Morocco, because boy, was there drama and a lot of fights, and I can't wait to discuss it all with Pat Lambert, Woo! Who is new to our show.
Hello, how are you, Mari?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Oh, my God. It was like Morocco was terrorized by these girls. Ramona's a terrorist. It was fabulous.
I know. So I could tell from your tweet already when you called Ramona Ramina where you lie on the
Team
Brunette versus Team Blonde.
Absolutely.
Hi, Mari.
So you may have to convince me, because I'm a little bit torn. It's like the second I want to be on one team, one of the women does something I dislike, and the second I want to be on the other team, the woman disappoints me too. So we'll have to get into it.
We'll hash it out. And Deidre's here. Hello.
Hi, Mari.
Oh, Deidre, as the Countess would say, never be late, darling. But I'm just kidding.
we'll get into that later.
She's got a Pinot. Yes. She's fine.
I wish I had some Pinot in front of me.
Okay, and before we get into all the drama, I just want to quickly give a heads up that soon we will be talking with one of our guests tonight, Cindy Avila, who was on Pregnant and Healed, which is another Bravo show. She will be calling in to discuss her reality show experience and break down a little bit of the drama from Roni with us, too.
Fabulous.
Fabs. So let's get right into Morocco,
it.
Man.
I just want to say, on the flight to Morocco, it was already being set up that we are totally in Team Blonde versus Team Brunette.
Well, except for Alex, because Alex is, you know, she's a brunette player.
I like her because...
I've come to like Alex, who I could not stand.
Thank you. Me too. Exactly the same thing. I think in this episode specifically, she did a really good job of calling a spade a spade.
Yep.
She called out the blondes, even though she's on technically Team Blonde. She called them out when it was time to call them out.
It was amazing how awful they were this whole episode.
Oh, my God. It was ridiculous. I can't wait to hash it out with you, Mari.
So start it up.
I agree, though. I'll quickly mention about Alex. I agree that she kind of straddled the line between the teams.
Yeah.
And she was very good this episode, better than other episodes, and I liked her more, but she still wasn't exactly like hanging out in buddy-buddy with the brunette.
Oh, she's still kind of a freak of nature, but, you know, she's come a very long way.
She has,
Alex's first season with her frizzy hair and the weird kids and the wannabe famous.
Oh my gosh, yes.
She's in her own now, and I like her much more.
But you know what my only complaint is, Mari? You know what I'm going to say? More Simon.
Which is
more
what?
Simon.
More, yeah.
More Simon.
I need more Simon.
Please. It's the only
fabulous
thing that
character
I want to see. Exactly.
In the red pleather pants.
Could you
Where
imagine
are
him
we?
In the middle of Morocco wearing
Literally.
His... Literally. I would
he'd be
die.
In, he'd be
and
in one of those dresses.
Vest.
Right? Yeah, it would be amazing.
All right,
I
so
know,
why don't...
He needs to be an extra cast.
May I start with the person who I've loved since day
say,
one?
I will say that this episode was the first one where I really saw the division between the teams, because in the beginning, before the season premiered, they were talking about how, oh, it's the blondes versus the brunettes, the blondes versus the brunettes. And it really developed as the episodes went by, and I couldn't really quite see it, and there were different alliances forming. And this is the first one that really I was just like, wow.
Oh, this is what established
it,
you know?
There are definite alliances.
This was the Moroccan border. Like, this is when it happened.
It really did.
You know?
Totally. And sometimes the lines are blurred. I agree with you
totally.
On that, Mari, because sometimes, like, we saw Cindy hanging out with Sonia, and then sometimes you see Jill with Alex. Exactly.
But there's always someone who seems to be kind of the villain of the time.
Yes.
You know, everyone was directed at Jill last season.
Yes.
And Jill, to her credit, has done an amazing job
of transforming
backtracking,
herself.
Backtracking and transforming.
Completely.
Amazing. You know?
And now Ramona has
assumed
that role.
And now it's Ramona used to kind of be that character, but Jill was it to the extreme.
Yes.
Now it's all Ramona.
Yes.
And she's literally pure evil.
I mean,
okay, so let's get right into it before you go on.
Sorry,
I literally am tangent.
It could be a trained Morocco how much I dislike her, but go for it. Keep me in.
Okay, so then let's talk about why probably you dislike her. This was very much kind of like the ugly American in Morocco.
Oh my God.
Is how I felt about Ramona. I just want to quickly talk about some of the things she did. She was very particular. She said, I want my white cotton sheets. I need my Pinot Grigio at all times.
600 thread
she had
count.
Three different bags, one with jewelry, one with clothing, and one with shoes and purses. She asked the staff to unpack her luggage.
That was my personal favorite.
Emailed a list of her needs.
To unpack her luggage.
Hangers, Pinot, 600 thread count sheets, and arm weights. And on the ride to the hotel, she just kept saying, it's dusty. I'm seeing poverty all over.
Like, so, oh my God!
What do you think of this ugly American?
I mean, to Alex's credit, like we were just talking about, I loved when Alex said in the confessional interview, she goes, I mean, I love Ramona, but she sounded like the most uneducated, untraveled, uncultured person ever. I mean, commenting on looking at poverty?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Like, joking about it. I was like, those are people who live there.
Completely.
And you're on TV. Like, are you insane?
Making light of such a serious issue, especially when you're a guest in their country.
And clearly she misunderstood. Like, in the last episode, she even said when they brought up Morocco, like, well, I don't want to be in danger. You know, it was like she was going to the heart of the Congo and she was going to be in the
Janjaweed.
Like, I was like, Morocco's a country. Like, people live there.
Yeah, and even the Countess said, she's like, you know, Morocco's a westernized country. Yes, it's very conservative, but it's still a westernized country. And they were there at a beautiful resort. You know, obviously, it takes whatever X amount of time to get from the airport to the resort. Yep. She's going to see
It's one thing to, like, you know, kind of parody where you are, you know, like being that little white girl in a very, you know, different. That could be potentially funny, but she took it to the extreme of being very ethnocentric, you know?
And if you come from the place of stereotyping yourself and making fun of yourself as opposed to Ramona's approach, which was let's make fun of the country.
Which was a superiority complex. It was like, I'm the American in this, like, awful, in this village, you know?
Right.
I was like, these are people, too. Like, in your, you're going there to be cultured in a sense, you know?
Exactly. And to be so,
like, unappreciative?
Yeah, and it just came off as, exactly.
You know?
So and offensive
Sonia,
to their people.
Sonia, who is, I think, in the last season, was one of the nicest characters, was the one who was kind of level-headed and kind all the time. I'm seeing this really awful side of her of where, you know, this very uppity, I've dined in the French Riviera, like, I've stayed in royal palaces. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Right.
You know, that your shit don't stink, but...
No, she and Ramona are like the Bobbsey twins of this season.
Literally.
Running around arm in arm, drunk all the time. It's ridiculous.
Drunk all the time. I think Ramona, I think it really pivots on Ramona is so proud of being famous now.
She is.
That now
she feels like she finally can shine now that maybe Bethany's out of the picture.
Yeah.
It's
like a musical.
Thinks it's her time.
It's like a musical artist when they ask for what they want in their green room.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ramona's like, I need the following thread count. Pinot.
Completely.
This Pinot
she
runner.
She's J-Lo. And
okay,
I was like,
well,
who are you?
I have to cut you off and play devil's advocate here.
Please.
Try. I'm not saying I'm siding with Ramona, but I'm giving her explanation. On her blog, she claimed the reason she was so particular about her white cotton sheets and her 600 thread count sheets was because she has very sensitive skin, which then she gave a plug for her
sensitive
true
skin
line,
come
and
on.
Said that she needed sensitive that skin. For her sensitive skin.
Right.
You're right.
And I have sensitive fingers that only work with Harry Winston. Like, you know what I mean?
You know? Yeah.
That's the most ludicrous comparison I've ever heard of in
like
my whole life.
It's one thing if you need it and if you want someone to accommodate but to demand of a place, you know, or like the people who are helping her move in, to demand that they unpack for her.
I've never heard of
it's
such
one
a thing.
It's one thing to ask for help and kind of make it into a scene. Like, I've done that to be
funny.
Totally.
The staff, when she got there, asked if she needed help. So she said, yes, could you help me unpack my bags? And that she did not email ahead of time that she wanted her bags
unpacked. Okay, well, you know, it's everyone's side of the story.
So that was a discrepancy between what Luann had said to the girls and now what Ramona said on her blog.
But how did she? How do you think that she treated the girl, the woman who was helping her unpack?
Well, she looked a little drunk. And you
know, she certainly was.
Always.
And which I'm not against. You know, I think it's fine to be drunk all the time.
Sure. I mean, why not?
Why not?
But, you know, the way that she was addressing that kind woman who was helping her, and, you know, she had enough clothes there to, like she said, there was enough clothes there for a small army of women.
Right.
She was like, I can't deal with this. Can you handle this for me? Can you do this
for
me?
Can you handle this for me?
Yeah.
It was very like, oh, I didn't know that, you know, the Rolling Stones came into the palace.
Exactly. It was something that I thought you would say to your personal assistant. And clearly this woman is not.
Especially for a woman who is self-made or whatever, you know. You can unpack your own bag.
Totally. She's total J-Lo this season.
Okay, well,
she's
coming I'm to not, her. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be very surprised, Ed, when we talk about Team Brunette hating on Ramona while she's unpacking and they're sitting out by the pool. I'm sure I can already tell what you guys are going to say and think, but let me just break it down for our listeners. Luann basically said that Ramona brought too sexy of clothing, and then she said, darling, it's conservative, not Girls Gone Wild. And then they got into Ramona's plastic surgery and claimed that she was doing work every month, that she had too much mycodermabrasion to go in the sun,
and Cindy
insinuated that she had a nose job.
Oh, God, these
so
girls
what did you think
amazing.
Of that conversation?
Fabulous.
They were totally ripping on Ramona, but I can't say that some of it wasn't warranted. Like, you know, don't go to a country like Morocco where you are a guest in their country, so you have to do as the Moroccans do.
Yep.
You can't come in your little hoochie, sheer, whatever it was, those little tiny dresses that she brought, those little white shorts that look like glorified underwear. I mean,
we'll talk about, like, the dresses later, but even when she was talking to the designer and saying, like, I like to show a little cleavage, and, like, the women called her out. She's like, Ramona is just in denial that she's in menopause and she's 55 years old. It's one thing to be beautiful and you'll show cleavage because you can, but to, like, to advertise, like, you're not, you know, you're not on sale anymore.
Totally.
You know? And it's great that you have a nice body or whatever, that you're confident.
Yes.
But don't put that on other people.
Totally. I was going to say, to her credit, for being 55, I think she looks phenomenal.
Oh, she looks great.
Yeah. You know.
But don't tramp around with it. Just own it.
Right.
You know, Luann is absolutely striking.
Stunning, yes.
But does she walk around trying to show a nip every day? No. She just does.
And she doesn't try to alter
this is my problem.
Sorry, we're going real bad against
the brunettes hating on Ramona. And this is why it's so hard for me to find loyalty with one team or the other.
Yeah.
Because what if they were having a conversation about Ramona being rude to the waitstaff and everything? Fine.
Yep.
That's all true. But the fact that they were talking behind her back about her plastic surgery, I think, was unwarranted. And so that is why I have the trouble, because I want to hate Ramona and think, oh, she's such an ugly American, and side with Team Brunette. And then Team Brunette is going behind her back and talking about her looks and her plastic
surgery.
Yeah,
I don't think it had tact. I don't think their conversation had tact.
It
you know,
didn't.
This was a sad episode. There were, well, I mean, out of all of them, I think Jill was actually the best behaved. Jill and Alex were the best behaved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because even Jill didn't really try to pull into the drama. Luann, I think the reason that she brought up the topics, Cindy, or what's her name? Is it Cindy?
Kelly? Cindy? Which
no,
one?
Not Kelly. We love Teeth.
Cindy.
Yeah,
yes.
Cindy.
Cindy.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Cindy, I think, has her own kind of like issues with it. And Kelly can be dramatic. Luann, I think it came out of frustration that a guest
hostess
was being very unappreciative.
Yes.
And you know that Luann really values being a good hostess.
Yes.
And I think that's why Luann is very good when she's good. But if she feels that someone has irked her, you know, she can break her own rules.
Mode, yes.
She can break her own rules in
totally.
That sense.
I mean,
Pat? I have to disagree with you, though. And I know
what?
I don't want to get into too
Me?
Much from last week's episode. But
she was awful last week.
Saw a bad side of Luann and totally showed a different side of her when she went up to Ramona at Jill's anti-bullying event and totally attacked her. I thought
that was
classless. And
I
had been Team Luann until that moment.
Because I think
now she has to prove it to me that she's not like that.
I think Luann's biggest problem is also that she does exactly what the girls say. She puts herself on that pedestal of knowing better than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes she does behave better than everyone else, but she has fallen catty. Maybe by their inspiration.
Totally.
But
a moment that I found hypocritical on Luann's part was how she engaged in that whole conversation we were just talking about where all the women were ripping on Ramona. But then she gave Kelly a lot of flack. And I think she also posted that on her blog because she thought it was so inappropriate that Kelly was discussing Sonia's financial troubles.
Yep.
So here Luann was gossiping just 5 minutes ago about Ramona.
One thing
And then here she is criticizing Kelly about gossiping about someone
else. What topics can you greenlight that are appropriate
exactly.
to gossip about?
Okay, so you're allowed to gossip about plastic surgery, but you're not allowed to talk about someone's finances?
With my own friends, we say things. Everyone says things behind each other's backs to an extent.
Sadly, that's the nature, yeah.
Not so much gossip. It's not always mean, but you make fun of your friends.
Right.
You do.
Yes. And but sometimes it's out of a place of affection.
This wasn't affection. This was anger, you know?
Totally.
And especially for the woman who wanted to facilitate happiness.
Okay, let's get into another big fight and another big piece of the drama this episode, which was what Luann coined as Hangergate.
Yeah.
Just to break it down for our listeners. Cindy goes back into her room after, talking about plastic surgery by the pool. And she thinks that someone has ransacked her room and taken her hangers. Once again, questionably, cameras were not there to cover what actually happened. So it was left up to the viewers to decide. But she thinks that the blondes took her hangers, and then the blondes are saying, once she walks away, within her earshot, maybe she wants to start drama. She walks right back up and says, I heard you talking about me behind my back. And then, of course, I love Ramona's confessional here. She said, of course we are. You're crazy. She needs a hanger off her butt.
I was divided on this fight.
Yeah.
Partially at first, I was like, what the hell is Cindy's problem? They're hangers. And I did agree with Ramona. She's like, we can buy more. Let's be problem solvers.
Yeah.
You can go... The hotel has no shortage of hangers. But then looking a little deeper into the issue, Cindy, I saw on her blog, she wrote, I don't care if you take a cotton ball.
Right.
The fact is that I'm upset that you went through my stuff without asking first. And I respect that because I don't want people going through my things either without asking
the
prior.
The hanger is a superficial kind of issue. It's a catalyst for a much deeper rooted anger. It's that Cindy doesn't like Ramona.
Blatantly.
The core is that the two are not going to like each other.
Right.
And when Ramona, maybe if Luann had done it, if someone else had borrowed the hangers,
wouldn't have been that
hangers,
much of an issue.
It's that Ramona has kind of this manifest destiny feeling that everything is hers. And if she's kind of trailblazing into someone else's room to take things because she brought literally enough clothing for all of Morocco.
Right.
I think Cindy wanted to stand against her and was angry at her.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I don't think it would be too far off to say that she picked the fight on purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
She was looking for a
I think she
battle.
They have different value systems, and their principles are always going to clash.
Totally.
And if there's a reason to have them clash, she's going to find it.
Absolutely.
And do I think Luann needs to... Luann was a little harping a bit much to be like, as the perfect hostess, I have to check out this hanger.
Right, and let me deliver you 45 hangers
in my
hand.
Do you need a hanger?
Yeah.
Just let it go. They're over it. It's a hanger.
And Luann's an intelligent woman. She should know that it's not about the damn hangers.
Right. I think she was just trying to
imagine
be the perfect
that all
hostess.
This drama went down just in the couple of hours.
Literally,
since
they land.
Landed.
They land.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you guys your opinion of right after Hangergate, Sonia and Ramona decide that they're going to skip lunch they say go on a drive, which actually means that they're going to a nicer hotel
to drink.
To go have a nice relaxing day without the brunette. I wanted to ask your opinion of it. Now, first, I want to give just my 2 cents on the issue. I feel that it was okay. Normally, I would say that it's rude to not say where you're going and to claim you're just going on a drive and to not include the brunette and not invite them. But because last episode, Cindy just invited the brunettes on her trip to Canyon Ranch and didn't invite the blondes and didn't tell them.
Different.
I think, an eye for an eye, it's A-okay here.
No. Different. This is a group effort.
This is a
cohesive
group that's
effort.
In Morocco.
Yes.
It's
girls
not like,
trip. It, all of them.
Cindy invited them over to a certain specific thing on a certain, in a certain hour for a little while.
This is the objective of this trip, everyone together.
And Luann is also the facilitator. When someone invites you and provides for you, you be careful what you ask. You don't ask too much.
You take all those things into
account.
You're
appreciative, and you cater to them, because you know that they're doing something for you.
100%.
So it was,
I will have to say this, and one of the women, I think Ramona said this on the blog, Sonia was also a host of the trip, too. So technically, her going to the hotel.
I guess they did have the first conversation.
Episode, it was like Sonia and Luann decided to plan
but it was once. But Sonia got on the plane with... her new best friend, and it was the best friend trip.
You know what? In my eyes, it was Luann who was dealing with the staff.
Yeah.
It was Luann who was dealing with this and teaching them Arabic vocabulary and this and that. Luann looked like the host 100% of the way.
I think if Sonia had flown with the other girls,
things would have been maybe a little different.
And not spent an entire flight with Ramona, that it would have been a little different.
Yes.
That she wouldn't have, you know, taken a best friend, but she would have been a bit of a facilitator.
Yeah.
But she fell in love with Ramona on the flight, and they had a grand old time, you know, getting
to
the hotel.
She fell in love with Ramona long before the flight.
Oh, entirely. Right. But, like, that time together, they were giddy, so they wanted to spend time with just the two of them, which is rude
God,
in the context
so
of a group.
God, it's so reminiscent of middle school.
Yeah.
And catty young girls who just find a new best friend every week and then they run off together. I
think the real cattiness is in finding is trying to legitimize why you do certain things. Mm-hmm. You know, they're saying like Sonia was saying like, well, I think it's proper for me to go do it. Like, it's not for you to tell me that I can't go.
Right.
But
like
you
said
trip,
before,
you know?
Yeah, you try to be mindful and you take into account everything that you're in a group and that there's a hostess who's trying to plan these group activities. You know, Luann included everybody in lunch and the shopping plans. And for these
And Luann
two,
was a little pushy, but I think it was because Luann had come up with the day program.
Right. Well, she has the good intentions.
Yeah. And
she
the
wants
two just wanted
to
scoot
out.
And she's like, do you not want to be here? Like,
yeah.
I brought you here. Like, do you not want to be with us?
What I had an issue with was the lying.
I have to disagree with you guys is, yeah, they don't want to be there. Those brunettes are talking about them behind their back.
No, but
there's clearly hostility. So I think it's better for Sonia and Ramona to go off and have
clearly
their own
not.
Time
Look at the end of the episode.
Than rather all the girls all being together. I really think that was okay that they left because
I think,
it would have been more drama had they stayed.
I think all the girls together is, you know, not ever supposed to really happen.
True.
But
yeah,
it's
and who knows if that's like a behind the scenes move. But what I took issue with the most was the fact that there was lying involved.
Yeah.
Ramona starts giving this whole spiel about how
But there was lying last week.
I mean, I guess so, but there's
always lying.
But here's the thing. Ramona says to Luann, I like the motion of the car. It makes me feel relaxed, and I'm so jet-lagged.
And Luann's like,
Luann's
who does that? Like,
yes.
Who goes to the desert
right.
to relax?
And she even said, she's like, you know, Alex is tired, so Alex is laying down. Ramona and Sonia want to be in a van. They were just dissing the
van. And did they want to go in a van? No, they wanted to go drink. They should have just said, we're going to go get some drinks.
Right.
And would you like to come? Even if they don't want them to come.
Right.
It's polite.
I've been on group trips before. I've been in, let's say, Vegas. You know, some people want to go to the spa. Some people want to go shop. And some people want to go to the pool. I mean, it doesn't matter. Just be upfront about what your intentions are and what you want to do.
I think the craziest thing about this whole group dynamic is that each one of us has taken to, they even say it in the opening, like the graphic open, where they're like, I knew who I am and I'm not forgiving it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the way a person should be.
No.
You know?
You have to be a little self-sacrificing.
You have
yes.
to, like, even when you're with friends at pizza and you're not happy with them, like, you're polite.
Right. And you pick and choose your battles.
You
I mean,
pick and choose your battles.
These women clearly don't understand
okay.
the concept of that.
Well, surprise, surprise, then. Ramona does something else that I'm sure you guys
We're sorry.
Don't agree
and
with.
I've loved
and
Ramona forever,
either.
But...
Not this season. Yeah.
Not now.
Okay. Well, Ramona and the caftan designer... So, Luann invites this caftan
Awful.
Designer to custom make caftans, take measurements, and custom make them for the women.
So nice.
The second she
so
introduces,
nice.
Yes,
Great
very
idea.
Nice. The second she introduces the designer, Ramona immediately says, "Oh, I don't like the caftan look."
Oh, wow.
So
then
disrespectful.
She talks about how she wants to show cleavage. Then she and Sonia ask the designer to go put wood in the fireplace.
You don't ask
and I
Mark Jacobs to do that. Yep.
Would you ask Mark Jacobs to do that?
No.
And finally, Luann says, must Ramona embarrass me every chance that she gets?
I mean, that was...
So, okay,
Luann,
let me brace myself for the earful I'm going to get from you two about Ramona.
It made me feel
so
very...
It made me feel very
uncomfortable.
Go.
It made me feel very uncomfortable that, you know, that was... It was clearly just rude. Like, that's just... Never okay.
No.
You know? Even if you hate the dress that you're given, you say it in the confessional.
Oh,
you know?
Completely. Save it for that. And, you know, maybe Ramona didn't understand the level of importance and significance this
but
designer
even if
holds.
It was just a person.
Oh, my gosh.
Would you
completely.
Say that?
Completely. But no, she's J-Lo this season.
And she makes her commands of what she wants in the dress.
Yes.
And, you know, like, as if, and then, oh, my God, even after the designer part, when they're, like, talking about how the house is too big, they need to ring a bell for servants. I'm like, Massa, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is this, like, slavery again? Like, what is this, you know? Third world country with rich white women? Like,
it's again, she feels like
really,
a big fish in a small pond.
You know?
And I think she's trying to capitalize on her feelings of superiority and belittling other people to make herself feel great. And that is, like, the most disgusting thing in the
world. I felt very bad for Luann. because Luann again went out of her way to do something that was really kind of spectacular.
Yes,
and very
special
kind
for all the
and
women.
Special, like when are you gonna have a Moroccan dress? You know, that's
a
exciting.
Custom,
it's
a custom dress made for you. And even Alex, I really give her props.
Alex was
amazing for saying
goes,
that Marc Jacobs
takes,
comment.
And it takes longer. It takes longer to request things than to just go do it yourself.
Totally.
You know, who are you to be waited on?
Yeah, and look at our problem solver went and got the logs herself and threw them in the fire. I just don't
and
think
then
Ramona
wasn't uncomfortable
has any concept.
At, like you know like didn't even start the fight that easily could have been taken to the back room and become a fight
completely.
And Sonia, I think the two of them, like, they bring out the worst in each other. They definitely did here.
Completely.
If one laughs at the other's joke, the jokes just get cattier and meaner.
Ugh.
You know.
And even, you know, she was complaining that she didn't have a drink in her hand. The
complaining.
The staffer was like, "Does everybody have a drink? I don't." And Sonia's like, "Oh, can you bring her some Chardonnay? I don't want Chardonnay. I only drink Pinot Grigio."
We don't even want to talk about, like, Ramona is an alcoholic. You know, I think it's fun to have your drink, but for it to be like a daily, the water of your life. You
it
know?
Is.
That's my question. That's what they insinuated
yes, she's an alcoholic.
Last was that she was an alcoholic. So, Pat, you think she is?
You know, I love, I'm a wino. You know, like, I love my wine. Like, literally any time you could pour it in my cup. But it's not something that I demand when I walk in a room.
Right.
That if it's not there, I'm not socially comfortable enough to continue my day. And then it does not bring out the best in her. It's not like she gets more fun or kind.
Right. It's not a
she
social lubricant
fights.
For her.
It's not a lubricant for her. It's
a demon.
It is
for
a
her.
Gel to an
I
awful.
I have to disagree with you guys, though,
Mari.
Because I don't think it's a matter of her being an alcoholic. I think it's a matter of her constantly trying to promote her brand.
No.
She is trying to make Ramona Pino as, you know, synonymous as Bethany's skinny girl margarita. She's not doing it with class and she's not doing it with subtlety, but pretty much every chance she gets, she will ask for her Pinot to be in an episode so that she can promote it. So I don't think it's that she's like
but she's
always
not,
drunk because her personality is not that much different from when she's sober, which
see,
is
I
how
disagree.
I know she's not always drunk. I think
she's
it's
eccentric
a matter of
either way,
and not a matter of her being an alcoholic.
Her emotions go much further, but it's she doesn't always demand hers like she has in the last few episodes.
It's just generic Pinot
it's
Grigio.
Just generic she's always commanding that she needs her Pinot Grigio, and it's always in a social setting, which is a telltale sign that mm-hmm. someone has an issue that they need something in order to feel comfortable
but you know
in
what?
The situation.
The second someone says Pinot Grigio, any Real Housewives watcher will. Equate that with Ramona.
But is that going to be a positive or
a
negative connotation?
To get people to think of Ramona when they think of Pinot. So
okay. The two could be synonymous, but I don't think of Bethany Frankel's brand and think, wow, she's
an anorexic alcoholic.
Yeah. I think of Skinny Girl as a nice brand.
I was just going
to say. I found
a
positive connotation to it.
I want Ramona to go and watch some previous seasons.
Like Jersey Shore should drink her Pinot Grigio
right?
in the way that she's branding it.
If she would just watch how Bethany portrayed herself on the past season that
business.
She was on, it was a business. And Bethany didn't walk into a room and demand, hey, Skinny Girl
she
margarita.
She also wasn't drinking margaritas
every
day.
Day,
you know?
Exactly.
But I mean,
but that's because Bethany is subtle and has more class.
Ramona
that's
definitely is
saying.
Not subtle. Yeah.
She's doing it not subtly and without class, but I don't think she's an alcoholic.
I guess it's inappropriate to
put a label onto something. But do I think it is a problem that she drinks as heavily as she does? Yes. Do the people around her feel uncomfortable when she drinks so much?
Yes.
Yes. So then it is an issue. So then her lifestyle, which is putting other people out, making other people feel uncomfortable, mm-hmm. is not a positive thing. So Ramona, as much as you love Pinot Grigio, maybe you need to go on to some, like, O'Doul's.
Yeah, that would be a perfect alternative. And it's just becoming the fact of the matter is every scene that we see on the show, she's either asking for Pinot Grigio or she's drinking Pinot Grigio. We don't ever just, like, what happened to her daughter and her husband? We don't
right.
see them that much
it's
this
the way
season.
That
we
she
don't...
asks, too. It's that, oh, my God, you don't have Pinot Grigio. It's very entitled, like... You didn't,
how dare you?
You didn't change your venue because I'm walking in the door.
Right.
And I think it's entirely engendered from the fame that's come from The Real Housewives, that she is entitled to things now,
mm-hmm.
which is why she's coming into Morocco like the queen of
England.
Queen of America or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know?
Yeah, she thinks that
with every bad stereotype
because she's
attached.
An expected guest at an event that they're automatically going to either have A, Pinot Grigio, or B, her brand of Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a lot to assume because she's got a long way
it's
to go.
It's a lot to demand, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, one moment that's not helping my claim that Ramona is not an alcoholic.
You're doing an amazing job, too, Mari. You know,
yeah,
if I,
she would give you a high five if she could this.
If she could
let me just quickly introduce this. Brad is Jill's friend. and he has a place in Morocco, or either a home, a bed and breakfast, we're not quite sure. He has a place in Morocco, and he invites the girls over for a party. And Ramona and Sonia show up completely wasted, three sheets to the wind, and I actually think Sonia was a little bit more embarrassing at Brad's party. And Luann says she's a drunken ass. I guess Sonia, on the ride over, attacked Cindy for canceling lunch in a previous episode because she had to get her veneer fixed. And then Sonia, when the snake comes out, is yelling, is that venom or is that semen? And while I have to say I love Sonia and I think she's hysterical and I love her and she is like Samantha from Sex and the City and I love that about her, I think she was a drunken ass in this party. And so was Ramona.
I think the biggest thing with The Real Housewives over the last few years is you fall in love with the people who are authentic and understand their own place. Mm-hmm. Why do we love Bethany? Because she was logical. Yeah. She understood who she was. Alex, the reason we hated her in the beginning, because she wanted to be famous. She thought
but
she
now,
was.
But now she's cool with
she's
being from Brooklyn.
She's coming to who she is. She is. And I think Sonia has a flawed sense of reality. You know, she still thinks she lives this larger than life, that everyone is throwing palms when she walks down the street.
Exactly. And as we'll get into with the news and
so
gossip,
okay.
We know that's the opposite.
Okay. You know, it's okay for her to come in and to be drunk because she's Sonia. It's okay for that to happen. When it's not, you know, it's not appropriate. I think it's wonderful that she was drunk and she was happy and she was funny, you know. She's funny when she's funny, but she was rude.
Yeah, she's so funny. That's why it's hard for me
That's
to
why
dislike
it's hard to dislike her.
She's so funny.
But the last few episodes of the last, you know, few weeks, she's brought out really awful sides of her.
Here's the thing with me. Samantha Jones, love her. Fictional character.
Keyword
fictional.
And
okay?
Diva, but was funny.
Exactly. Her execution was on par, obviously, because her lines were written for her. Mm-hmm. Sonia Morgan being the real-life embodiment of Samantha Jones, huge issue. We have to remember, we don't see her on camera, but Sonia has an adolescent daughter.
Yep.
Lord knows if my mother was on national TV.
Oh my God!
If my mother,
she's the only one who chooses not to have her daughter in the show at all. So that speaks about Sonia. That speaks volumes about her, and that's one thing I like about her.
Well, volumes,
so,
like look what she's showing her daughter.
Maybe
you know,
so. But if I
she's
saw
not
my
wearing
mother
panties to things, like
yeah,
who are you? You're old.
Comparing a snake to a penis. I mean, I would literally have a heart attack if I saw my mother talking about
that
on
national TV.
I mean,
there's one thing about being funny about sex. Like, the last season, she was funny and subtle about sex.
No.
This season, she literally is just a horny old woman.
And she's just completely gratuitous with her approach. And I cringe. I mean, I laugh, but I'm not laughing really with her. I'm more laughing
at her. I used to be. I used
to
think it was very funny the way that she framed it. You know, it's funny that she, like, flirted with younger guys and enjoyed it. It was funny that she was a lush. But now it's just kind of uncomfortable.
It is a little
And I loved Sonia, but I think she's become... I saw really awful parts of her, you know?
Yes.
She's become very
I'm
rude.
All about a woman being confident with her sexuality.
And
how, to go
how
after
true
that
to this
stuff,
season
but...
with Ramona, though, that Brad was like, oh, Ramona's here? That bitch, you know?
Yep.
And who I don't know who said it, but they were like, even across the wall of the world in Morocco, someone still has a problem with
10,000 Ramona. 10,000 miles away.
Because she's
away.
Offended someone. And, you know, Jill knows Ramona better. She comes in with an Uzi, kills everyone, and then expects the next day that there's not zombies, that everyone's happy again.
Completely. Yep.
But then I will say Jill herself was very rude, and we saw a glimpse of old Jill when she walks in and she goes, ugh, Brad said this was his house. It's actually a bed and breakfast.
I don't think that's rude.
She grounded him on reality television. And
that wasn't
that's
that
Brad's
wasn't
fault. I'm sorry. Yeah. If you're over-exaggerating, if you're calling your shack a mansion, I mean, that's sort of an issue. Not
you
that
know?
That was the case, but I'm just, I mean, over-exaggerating myself. But, you know, for him to run into those women in that shop and say, oh, I have a place here. I made sure I was here at the same time
as
you.
Being over.
And then the women walk into a hotel. There's obviously a disconnect between what they heard
and
what
I
they
don't
were
think,
expecting.
I think what's to Jill's claim is that she tries to tell things as they are. Mm-hmm. Bethany was the exact same way.
Yes.
If Bethany were there, she would have said the exact same thing. We would have been fine with it.
Right.
But Jill was just, you know,
okay,
she was
okay, well, then I have
it's
to
not
play
polite,
devil's advocate again here.
But it was funny.
And I have to tell you something that Ramona wrote on her blog. She said, quote, when Jill was calling him out about exaggerating that it was his house, I almost peed in my pants. It was the kettle calling the pot black. Jill always exaggerates about her possessions. She
Why are you writing this, Ramona?
For 1 week.
Be nice.
Sorry?
Sorry, no. I was just yelling at Ramona. Continue.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you this because I thought it was interesting. Apparently, Jill rented a yellow Ferrari for 1 week and told everyone Bobby bought it for her.
That's
and she sold her Hampton home 4 years ago but continually told people she owned it when she was actually renting it from the new owners.
I choose not to believe this because I like Jill.
I'm seeing so much negativity from some of these girls. How did I ever become friends with them?
I mean, those are very embarrassing things to do. I don't know why so many of these women are still hung up on.
Are these new rumors? Or are these old? Is this like something that she's recently committed?
I have no idea.
No, Jill, don't backtrack.
No, it's something that she's done in the past that Ramona's talking about in her blog.
See, I can understand that because Jill, but you know what? I think Jill's come full circle. I think that was in Jill's time when she came off season one or two and Jill was in love with the fame.
Right.
You know, she tried to screw Bethany out of her own show.
Oh, yeah.
Jill was obsessed with the fame.
Right. No, Jill and thought so all she those was things, Ivanka Trump. Like, you know, she thought
literally.
She was the Sultan of
and
New
I
York.
And Jill was torn apart for 4 hours on American television in those reunion shows.
Right.
Torn apart. And then had to come back and say, like, I have to rebuild a brand of sorts. I have to rebuild my character.
Yes, totally.
Personally and
little,
for the public,
I have
you know?
To be a little softer. Whether or not those Lamborghini or Ferrari.
You guys are so blatantly Team Brunette. It's like.
I just. Logic sways that way, baby.
I have trouble finding which team I'm siding with, but you guys are like so blatantly Team Brunette.
It's not that I have.
Surprised.
It's not that I have a hard and fast Team Brunette, you know, allegiance of any sort.
Right.
I just call it as I see it, and like I was complimenting Alex before. She's on Team
right.
Blonde, and I think she did
and
a
I've
great
used to,
job in
and
this
I
season.
And I used to like think she was a crazy bitch. Like,
yeah,
I used to hate Alex
as well.
But when she's
yes.
when she does something right, I think right is commendable.
Absolutely.
And Sonia was literally one of my favorite characters. I loved Ramona for a long time.
Me too.
Characters. I say characters. Isn't that weird?
Right.
They're people.
They're people. Yeah, that's supposed to be
they're
them.
Characters.
So, yeah.
But I think it's when someone does something that's wrong. You know, Luann, it's been hard the last few episodes because I've loved her
mm-hmm.
and has normally really said it how it is and tried to keep peace and has quickly fallen into being a little catty herself or hypocritical. But in this episode, I think she tried to really facilitate great things for people. And certain people were good in it. You know, Kelly. Who was Kelly? Look at Kelly last time we took her out of the nation.
Oh, Jesus.
Could you have gone more bioterrorist? I mean, that was huge.
It was ridiculous.
The ship should have sank.
And
you know?
She completely cooled it down
completely.
On this trip.
What would you remember of Kelly this episode?
Not
being
a whole
accommodating?
Lot.
Being kind, not wanting to tell Ramona what the fortune teller said. You
keeping
know,
a low profile.
Keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
Taking the notes that people gave her.
Completely.
Kelly, I used to think she was literally the worst one to walk down the street in short shorts. But now, now she's been really good, you know?
Yeah,
so it's not so much the brunettes, Mari. It's more, you know, who's wearing what coat what day.
Right. Well put.
Thank you.
Okay, well then,
thank you.
Let's talk about the fortune teller incident and whether or not, okay, I have to just throw this out there. I think that maybe it was rigged, which is what Ramona was insinuating on Twitter last week when the episode aired. Let me just give a breakdown of what the fortune teller said about all the women. She seemed to be very Team Brunette. She said Jill's saving grace is her big heart. She said Kelly will probably have another child.
Oh.
And then she said to Sonia, money's not your life. And then she said to Ramona, dun, 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 there is another woman.
Which I don't believe.
Apparently that's where the episode left off, and that's where it's going to pick up next week.
I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I think that seems to be the trend that maybe the producers are feeding off of with everything going on with Schwarzenegger and Tiger Woods. Maybe this whole idea of mistress. Well, they're just using it for entertainment
value. But I don't.
Value.
I think the producers have done Andy Cohen to his credit. I do not think that they often fabricate the reality that these women provide. I think that they push the women to all go to Morocco together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think they push them into like certain lunches and dinners, but I don't think they would feed a fortune teller a line.
No, I definitely don't either. I think
it happened.
I don't think they're going to fabricate anything. I just think they're taking a little piece of salaciousness and they're feeding off of it and they're going to continue into that next week to generate more viewers.
Producers, I would think maybe they gave Brad the idea of having the fortune teller. I do not think that they would script what the fortune teller would say.
Yeah, I would.
You know, I think there's a fine line with these.
I don't know, though, because I'm pretty surprised by this because out of all the women in their marriages, I actually think Ramona and Mario is
the
strongest.
Yeah, I think they're great.
And that their
which is why
their re-wedding that they had last season or whatever. Yeah, their commitment ceremony that they had last season.
Wow.
I thought it was so touching. And I think they have one of the strongest marriages.
Yeah.
And I really think that this type of drama insinuating that there is an affair going on is going too far. Just like when I think that the women talk about their daughters or their other housewives' daughters or their children, it's going too far.
No, I Bethany Frankel said
the drama talks about just the housewives, it's fine. But when you go into
children,
it's going
You can't
too
be a reality
far.
Show. You can't be a reality show and draw lines of what you're not gonna show. If you're a reality show, you show reality. Bethany even said it herself. You know, you saw her in Bethany getting married, peeing in that cup. You know, like she didn't, Bethany, to
She's
her credit, never holds
anything.
It. She's not editing anything. Jill, that was why we didn't like Jill a long time ago. She edited her lifestyle for television.
Right. And you just have to be yourself.
You know, if you're going to put yourself in this show,
leave it.
If you don't want your kids,
that's really serious.
You don't put your family on television and then say that, you know, you can only show certain things. You're agreeing to a commitment to the public.
Yeah. Especially,
I know it's raw. It seems morally, but it is your decision to be on this show.
Sure.
It's not the producers.
Especially because
this.
We used to see a lot of Avery, Ramona's daughter.
Yeah, absolutely.
We used to see a lot of her.
And it was wonderful back when we loved Ramona. You know, she was
totally.
A great family.
Totally. And
but
her daughter
wrong,
I
but.
Loved because she was like the voice of reason. Mom,
yeah.
cover yourself up.
Mom
stop
cover
doing
yourself
this.
Up,
exactly.
Nip Slip.
And I even find Mario sort of refreshing. He was
yeah.
kind of funny and,
you know
participated in his own little way.
Yeah.
But now, mysteriously, all their families are gone. We don't see Luann's kids.
I think it's because the women are providing so much themselves that the kids are, like, background now.
Oh,
the
gosh.
women have come into a sense of fame and deeper society that, you know, we don't need to see the kids as much.
Sure.
But I think we need to talk a little bit more about it when we come back. We have a quick commercial break, and we will talk more about the girls and where they all stand.
Woohoo!
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This yes. is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your After Buzz on.
And we're back. To Morocco.
Okay. Can we get into a little bit of news and gossip here,
Please.
Though? Because as much as I'd love to talk about Team Brunette and Team Blonde, it's so clear where you guys
We're
stand.
We're sorry,
I don't
Mari.
Know where I stand.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay. So, Deidre, you talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but Sonia Morgan is having some serious financial difficulties. And we've talked about on the show before, back in November, she filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And at the time, she listed in her petition that she was $19.8 million in debt with $13.5 million in assets. Well, another stab to her bank account. This week, the United States Courts of Appeal upheld a judgment against her for a failed movie venture. And she has been ordered to pay $7 million
to
Hannibal Pictures and its owner and is personally liable for fraudulent conduct after movers she agreed to fund was not paid.
What? Wait,
what
explain the movie more, though.
So basically,
why is she sued for $7 million? Was she making Transformers 4? Like,
the movie never got made. And so
was she supposed to make it?
She was the production team behind it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And she claims that it wasn't made because John Travolta was supposed to be in the film and her production company couldn't adhere to the requirements that he was looking for. But apparently, this Hannibal Pictures is upset about this whole deal, and so she's going to pony up a lot of cash.
And she doesn't have it.
That's exactly what I was just going to ask you, Mari. Mari, what do you think she's going to do when you're already severely in debt and now you owe somebody $7 million?
Millions of dollars in debt? Like, that's not like a makes back.
She did say this week in an interview, she said, I had a slate of 5 films ready to go. I had one movie in the can and another movie fell through and a big lawsuit. And she said, it was really hard on me all the while I was dealing with a divorce and I have a little child to take care of and a big house to maintain.
She's not precious.
Right, I love that, big house to maintain.
I think it would be an interesting spinoff to kind of do, like, a riches to rags.
Oh, that is so beneath her.
She would never do that.
She would never.
Or would she? I mean, she doesn't have anything.
It depends on how desperate she is for a paycheck.
You know, if you're in rags,
I guess
so. Yeah, I suppose.
But who knows if her ego would allow for something like that. Yeah.
Oh.
Ouch.
Ouch. That is awful.
I mean, I don't
know. I actually feel bad for her.
We'll have to follow the drama. And the thing is, I feel really bad. And that's why I feel like Kelly's Kelly's comments about her home being unorganized and not clean and not renovated was really a low blow.
Or maybe it was a good foreshadow. Like, maybe it wasn't a low blow because she didn't, you know, she didn't know the reality that she was actually in huge debt.
When you're already down. You know your friend or not, or your colleague.
But it wasn't out that Sonia was down.
You shouldn't say that.
I mean, I've been to someone's home where I was like, you know, they have a beautiful home, they're wealthy, but like, their fridge smells. Like, you know, like, what are they doing? You know, like, don't act like you're something that you're not.
That's
what Kelly was saying. You know?
I would never, ever make fun of somebody's home, but the fact that Sonia traipses around like she's Ivanka Trump, like she lives in the penthouse of the Waldorf,
And Kelly's smart enough to kind of see through it and be like, you're not. Like,
exactly. Your apartment, you know? And I was surprised by her apartment. I thought I was definitely expecting to see, you know, waterfalls and this and magic and all
which
sorts
I didn't
of
need to but like I but expected it
exactly because that's how she portrays herself. So while I don't agree with belittling someone's means
money
in their home,
money don't buy you class. Could it be more real now?
Totally.
Could it be more topical?
Yep.
Well, I have to say that Luann actually agrees with me on this one. Luann said in her blog this week that she thought what Kelly said was uncalled for, and that she said that that's not normally in Kelly's character, and she popped it up to being Kelly being jet lagged, and that's why she said something so rude.
Nice of you, Luann.
Maybe so, but
I mean, I don't think it was polite what Kelly did.
No.
You know, it's certainly not ever polite to talk about someone's financials.
But I'm all about calling somebody out when they're being fake.
But I can understand where she was coming from.
Yes.
And she wasn't calling Sonia poor or trying to make something, you know, to put herself above where Sonia's situation was. She was just saying, and I don't think she even really knew that Sonia, I don't think any of them knew that Sonia was literally in debt.
Right.
You know?
Severely in debt.
Severely. Yes. I think she was just saying, like, you know, I see through this whole act that Sonia has.
Right.
I feel bad.
Milan and Venice and this and that.
Oh,
and then,
my God. Could Sonia put on more airs? It's all about it. She's like the Great Gatsby.
Uh-huh. She really is.
She's the homeless Great Gatsby right now.
The homeless, you know? Jay Gatsby.
Oh, my God. Well, Pat, I hope we have you on the show every
me
week.
Me too.
I'm obsessed with the show, Boo.
Yay.
Luann's one-liners.
Thanks, darling.
Please come back.
Thank you.
So let's get into my final bit of news and gossip. You guys were talking earlier about how you are kind of Team Alex now and about her transformation. Well, she said in an interview this week, talking about her transformation, she said, quote, "The experience I had of watching Jill really try to ruin somebody, this was last season, whom she said was her best friend, and then have all that ire kind of shift to me was shocking to me. Certainly the experience of doing a reality show has awakened me to what some people who call themselves girlfriends do to one another."
Spot on, Alex. Well done.
Rock on.
Well
put. Way to call someone out. Yep.
I mean, Alex is a fun, interesting
story. She actually went on about Jill, which this is kind of, we'll get into predictions, but I kind of feel that, like, we're going to see a little bit more of a fight between Alex and Jill because they've made up thus far this season, but I think there's going to be more of a fight. Because in this interview, she says, as for the reformed Jill on the show, Alex doesn't buy the act. She said, quote, "The whole Jill relationship is bittersweet to watch on TV. People are human. People have desires to live a certain way, and sometimes they can live up to those desires, and sometimes they can't." And when the interviewer said, "You're being awfully kind," she said, "You could take that as me being kind or that I don't want to kick someone when they're already down."
So who knows what she was insinuating by that? Because that's sort of bold.
Yeah. You know, but to Jill's credit, she's come a long way.
I agree. I do agree. Yeah, she's definitely softer this season.
And I love, you know, I've always loved Jill.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's one. I think she's funny. I think she's got great personality. Mm-hmm. She was the birth of the show.
She was. I mean, she
Real
was the inception of the
show. She was the inception of the show, and I think she took kind of a role in that. She felt like she had to carry the show.
Yeah.
And then went really dark, and I think she's come back slowly but surely. You know, this season has definitely been a better highlight of Jill.
Making amends with Alex.
Making amends was a big gesture.
Really gave me hope for Jill, for reverting back to her old ways when she was once
and I don't think,
really respected and highly revered on the show as a castmate.
And I don't think Jill wants the worst for people. You know, I really don't think she does.
No. She wants to throw fabulous parties.
Okay, well, let's get straight into the predictions because I think there's going to be a lot more next episode.
I can't live without the show. It's, like, so real. I really can't wait.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Mara, you're so lucky that you get to see these women running around the city.
I know. I have yet to run into them, but I often see the places that they frequent. But let's get right into our predictions for next week. Do I... Do I get this spooky, eerie music?
Yes. Always. Every week.
Predictions, boo. All right. So who would you like to start with? Morocco.
Basically, we see Sonia and Cindy have a major fight, which...
They're never going to get along.
Was already leading up to it with Hangar Gate and Sonia.
Never going to get along.
It was waiting to
erupt.
In the
van. Yep. What do you think is going to happen between Sonia and Cindy?
I think it's Iraq. It's Pakistan and Israel.
Yep.
You know?
It'll never happen. It's oil and water. It's waiting to erupt. It's two feisty ladies ready to
they're
have
not,
at it.
They're not. I don't. They don't match. You know their characters, and it's sad because they kind of had some chemistry. I think. Oh, God. Sonia totally overplayed that whole invitation to lunch.
Oh, my gosh.
Incident.
Yes.
I mean, if my friend, broke her tooth, I wouldn't be like, well, excuse me, we're supposed to have salad. Like, Sonia, you don't even eat. Like, what's the big deal, you know?
And the whole pecking order thing was
pecking
really rude,
Pecking order.
It's disgusting.
Who are you? And why would you put Ramona at the top? That's going to topple.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going
to... But you know what? I will say I'm excited for Cindy to... have a fight of her own, because I always get nervous when new characters are introduced that they're not going to make it, as is what
Kelly,
last
she
season.
She came in with flying colors.
Yep.
I don't even remember what the name of the girl was last season they introduced and then they dropped.
The wedding planner.
So I'm just,
we don't remember.
I'm
She's just a wedding planner.
I'm happy for Cindy to kind of have her own spotlight and her own drama.
Cindy's definitely going to have her moment next week. It looks like it.
You know, and Cindy's going to establish herself. Luann's going to love Morocco.
Before the music, I just want to quickly say that Ramona and Jill have a huge fight, lots of crying.
I can't wait to see that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Deidre, thank you very much. Next week, we will have Jackie, and hopefully one of the Pregnant and Healed co-stars will be calling in
next
week. So stay tuned, and thank you, everyone.
All right, thank you. Morocco!
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.